Today I'm continuing to teach about how to hear God's voice. And I tell you, this has been powerful. The hearing the voice of God is just absolutely indispensable. I started with the scripture in Jeremiah 10:23 that, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. God has given us the privilege of choosing to do things our own way, but that's the wrong choice. The right choice is to follow His guidance, and we have to be directed and led by Him. So hearing His voice is absolutely indispensable to a victorious life. And I've shared a lot of things about this, and really emphasizing that God speaks to us through His Word. And not just the Word of God that's in our head, but it has to become alive on the inside of you. The Word of God, John 6:63, Jesus said, "The Spirit, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." God's Word is living. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is quick. That means alive and powerful. The Word of God is a living thing. Now, it's written on paper with ink, and I believe it's accurate. I'm not discrediting the written Word of God, but it really isn't the Word of God until the Holy Spirit quickens it and it comes alive on the inside of you. Man, I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not discounting the Word of God at all, but I'm saying that the Word that Jesus speaks, it is spirit and it's life. This is the perfect representation of it, but it has to come alive. And God speaks to you through the Word. This is the number one way that God speaks to us, is through the written Word of God being quickened by the Holy Spirit and made to come alive in your heart. I've given many examples of how God has spoken to me, and this is the dominant way that God has given me direction. Man, that's powerful. I've got an entire teaching entitled How to Find, How to Follow, and How to Fulfill God's Will. And I go into great length of teaching about how that God leads us through the principles in His Word and through quickening the Word unto us. I want to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I want to just continue to make this point by looking at some things. When I was raised in the Baptist church, again, the Baptist church, praise God, I got born again there. It kept me out of a lot of trouble. I praise God for the good I got through it. But the Baptist as a whole taught that the miracles and God speaking to us and these miraculous type of encounters with the Lord all passed away with the apostles, and God doesn't do that today. And so they look at the Word of God as a static, fixed thing that is not living, and God doesn't speak to us today, that you could gain principles and see how God spoke to other people, but God wouldn't speak to people today. And some of the verses that they would use, I've heard this quoted a lot in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." And so people will quote that verse and say, we just can't hear the voice of God. We can't know God. Well, the very scriptures that I started with over in John chapter 10, Jesus said, "My sheep do hear My voice." He said it twice in those passages of Scripture. God does speak, and we can hear His voice today. We should hear His voice. But what about this verse? It says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." If you take it in context, he's talking about, Paul said, "I didn't come preaching to you with man's wisdom." Now, Paul was a very educated man. He was educated at the feet of Gamaliel, who was the leading rabbi in Jerusalem in his day. Paul had the equivalent of a doctor degree of divinity. I mean, he had all of these things. But over in Philippians, he says, "All of this that was counted gain to me, I counted it but dung compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ." And so he says, "I didn't come preaching with man's wisdom, but I'm using wisdom, but it's not the wisdom of this world." Look at this in verse 6. It says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, for which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So he's saying we're using wisdom, but it's not this world's wisdom, because if the people of the world would have had any spiritual understanding, they would have never crucified Jesus, because Jesus prophesied he'd be crucified, that he would be buried, and that he would raise again. If they would have been thinking clearly, they would have done anything but crucify Jesus, because that's the way that he said that he was going to bring salvation into this world. But they just couldn't understand spiritual wisdom. The devil knows all of the prophecies in the Bible, but he is so spiritually dull that he can't understand it and apply it in a way that is going to help him. He is just blinded. And so this is what he's saying here. And to prove it, he quotes an Old Testament scripture that is talking about people who don't know the Lord, saying that their eye has never seen, their ear has never heard, their heart has never understood. It's never come into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But that's not the end of it. In the next verse, in verse 10, it says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. This isn't saying that we can't know the things of God, that we can't hear His voice. It's just saying that with your brain, you can't hear God's voice. You got to hear with your heart. The Word of God, as again, John 6:63, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If you try and read the Bible as just a book, like any other book, you aren't going to get what's in it. The Bible isn't written to your head, it's written to your heart. It's a spiritual thing. It's represented by physical words on a page, but the true Word of God is alive. Hebrews 4:12, it's quick, it's alive, and it's powerful. It's not static, it's not just dead. It's represented perfectly. I am not discrediting the Word of God at all. Man, I respect and praise God for the people who've died to preserve and to get this Word translated into a language that I can read. I love the written Word of God, but you could take this Bible and lay it on your heart and it'll never heal you until you take the words that are here and bring them alive and they become alive to you. You have to take scriptures like, by His stripes we were healed. And it has to come alive to you. You could just take this Bible and lay it on your body and you'll never get healed. But you can take these words off of the page, put them in your heart, and if they are quickened by the Holy Spirit and come alive, it'll heal cancer, it'll open up blind eyes, it'll open up deaf ears, it'll do all of these things. But the Word, just this written Word, if it's not quickened by the Holy Spirit and put in your heart, it'll profit you nothing. It doesn't work until it becomes alive on the inside of you. And this is what it's saying. This is just saying that a natural man, apart from the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, cannot understand the things of God. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. This Word has to come alive by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wrote it, He inspired man to write it, and He will quicken it to you. And so it goes on to say in verse 14, 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Man, that is awesome. This is just saying that a natural man, this isn't only a lost person. All people who have not made Jesus Christ their Lord is a natural man. You are only playing with half of a deck. You do not have a spiritual rebirth. You are spiritually dead and separated from God. So it is true that people that have not made Jesus their personal Lord and Savior are a natural man and they cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. But it's not limited to only people who haven't made Jesus Lord. If you are a Christian and if Jesus is your Lord, but if you haven't renewed your mind, if you're just operating out of your own wisdom and leaning under your own understanding, you can't understand the things of God with just your brain. Again, the Bible isn't written to your brain, it's written to your heart. You've got to read the Bible with your heart, not just your head. It's not good enough just to memorize Scripture. These Scriptures have to come alive. They have to be quickened to you. God will speak to you through the Word. But the natural man, either a lost man or a Christian who doesn't have their mind renewed and is listening to the Holy Spirit, Those people cannot understand the things of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Man, that is powerful. And I'm telling you, this is why so many people read the Bible, but it doesn't do anything for them, and they don't understand it, is because they are reading it with their intellect. You know, that's a part of it. You have to read the Bible, and you have to put some knowledge in your mind. You have to have some degree of information about what the Word of God says before God can quicken it to you. So I am not discrediting just reading the Bible, but I'm saying it doesn't release its power until you read it with your heart. You can't just put information in your mind. It's got to be quickened to you by the Holy Spirit. And this is what it's saying, that the natural mind or the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You have to have the Spirit reveal these things to you. So again, I'm teaching on how to hear God's voice. And we're just now ready to get into how do you hear specific things? How do you have, like I've had God tell me a person's name that I've never seen them before. God has spoken things to me that are so specific. I mean, down to the last detail. God's told me how to fix a car. God's told me how to fix things. The Lord speaks to me. The Lord told me one time not to get on a plane and spoke to me and told me not to get on that plane. I didn't get on the plane, and the plane crashed, and people were killed. And God spoke to me. You can't find a scripture that says, thou shalt not get on this plane. But you can find scriptures that say, God will give you the desires of your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, and on and on. And through applying these scriptures that have been quickened to me, and I live my life according to it, God gave me direction and spoke to me by the peace it was in my heart not to get on a plane, and it saved my life. There's just so many things that God has spoken to me. So I'm going to be talking about how do you hear the specifics. But again, I want to emphasize, what is the point of God speaking to you specifically if He has given you thousands of instructions in the Word of God and you're ignoring them? You know, God, all He would do is if He gave you all of these specific things about exactly what you were supposed to do, and yet you haven't acted on this, all that does is make you more accountable. We're accountable for what God says in His Word. We are accountable for acting on it and applying our lives to it. But if you aren't acting on this, if the Lord was to speak to you outside of the Bible and speak to you by some other means, all that would do is just increase your accountability. The Lord loves us so much that why would He give you all of these other things to do if you aren't doing what He's already clearly spoken in His Word? It just makes you more accountable, more guilty. And so the Lord just gives you, you have to act on the Word that He's already given you. You know, just for time's sake, I'll refer to this instead of turning over there, but in 1 Kings chapter 17, Elisha got a word from God. And he went to the king and he said boldly, he says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Israel had rejected God as being their God, but he hadn't rejected them. He says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. He was still their God whether they realized it or not. And then he prophesied that there wouldn't be rain or dew for years until he said so. And then in the next verse, 1 Kings 17:2. Then the word of the Lord came unto him, and God spoke to him about going to the brook Cherith and hiding himself there, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. But my point in bringing all this up is to say that God gave Elijah a word and spoke to him, but He didn't give him the second word about his protection until he had acted on the first word that God gave him. And I think that that is significant. You know, if it was us, many of us, if God told you to go and speak to a king who was killing any person who identified themselves as being a servant of the Lord, that's the way that Ahab and Jezebel were, and Elijah had a word to go speak to them about that there was going to be a drought until he said that it could rain, he put the crosshairs right upon him that his life was in danger. If that would have been us, most of us would have said, all right, God, if I deliver that word, well, what about me? How are you going to protect me? How are you going to take care of me? But see, God didn't give Elijah how he was going to protect him. He didn't give him that word and tell him how he was going to protect him and how his needs would be provided until he had given the first word. 1 Kings 17:1, he had a word, he went and spoke it. And then in verse 2, after that, the word of the Lord came unto him about how God would protect him and sustain him. And so my point is, God's not going to give you step number 2 until you've done step number 1. God's not going to show you step 1 through 10 until you've acted on step 1. Why would He do that and just make you accountable for 10 things now instead of the one thing? God loves us so much that He reveals His will to us piece by piece, step by step. It says in Mark chapter 4 that there's first the blade, then the ear, and then the full ear and the corn. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, there's the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. God reveals things to us step by step because He loves us so much. He doesn't want to give us step 1 through 100 and make us responsible for all of these things when we never have acted on the first one. He will just give you things little by little as you're able to handle it because He loves you. He doesn't want to overwhelm you. You know, if the Lord would have shown me back in the beginning what He's leading me to do right now, it would have totally overwhelmed me. You know, I have to have $3.5 million a month just to pay my basic needs. And we actually need around $6 million a month to function and do all the things that God wants. And so we're growing towards that. But just think about this. You know, this amounts to, I forget now exactly, but it's over like $5,000 an hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week that I need just to keep my bills paid. That's a lot. And if God would have shown that to me 20 years ago, if He would have shown that to me 10 years ago, you know what? It would have either done one of two things. It would have probably overwhelmed me and I would have thought, oh God, You got the wrong person. I'd have run the other direction. God, I can't do this because I hadn't grown in my faith to where I could do that. So that would have been one reaction. It would have driven me the other direction. I'd have been so overwhelmed and intimidated, I'd have just quit. Or another possibility is I'd have gotten so anxious to see the supply that I'm now seeing back 10 or 20 years ago, and it just wasn't going to happen right then. And I would have been so anxious I couldn't have just stayed where I was and have occupied and have grown and have done what God told me. One of the reasons that God hasn't spoken to you and revealed more to you is because you haven't already acted on what He's told you to do. And we're going to be talking about specifics. How do you hear specific things from God? But I can also apply that to the Word of God. There are many of you that are not meditating in the Word of God day and night as we're commanded to do in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, Psalms chapter 1, verse 2. You aren't seeking the Lord. You don't take the Word of God. There's all kinds of things God would love to show you through the Word and quicken to you and make them come alive. And you aren't acting on this. You aren't receiving this as being spirit and life and letting God speak to you, but you're wanting something else. Why would God give you something else and make you accountable for rejecting the truths of His Word plus rejecting these other things? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And you wouldn't have faith to be able to follow the specific leading of the Lord, the more specific words that you get from God, if you don't already know the Word of God. I'm telling you, this is just so vital what I'm saying. And I know that I'm speaking to people all over the world that you have needs. You're crying out to God, asking God for an answer and saying, oh God, give me a word. You got your Bible under your arm. Oh God, give me a word. And here's millions of words. And you aren't listening to them. But you're asking for something outside of the Bible. Why would God give you an extra biblical word until you start acting on the words that He's already given you? I'm telling you, this is important. And I'm saying by the Spirit of the Lord to you right now that God is speaking to many people who've been crying out and asking God for wisdom. Oh God, show me what to do. But you haven't looked to the Word. You're just looking for some kind of an audible voice. You're asking for God to send somebody across your path. You're looking for something in the natural. But remember this verse that I was using, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you are ignoring the spiritual content and the leadership and the voice of God that is coming to you through the Word of God, and you're looking for something just in the natural, you're wanting a donkey to tell you what God's will is, you're wanting a bolt of lightning, a sign in the heavens, and all of these kind of things, you aren't going to get it. The natural man, if you're just looking for God in some physical, carnal way, you want to hear nothing but an audible voice. You want to have somebody come and just prophesy and tell you everything. I don't believe that God is prone to give you prophecies until you first of all take in the written prophecy that is given. Now again, He can do that, and God in His mercy has done that to me, and I believe He can do it to others. But I'm telling you, God's purpose, God's number one way is to speak to you through the Word. I have a teaching that I hadn't got time to give now, but it's out of Matthew chapter 11 about John the Baptist, who was doubting that he had anointed the right person. He sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the right person. And Jesus just ignored him for an hour, didn't even respond to him, and then said, "Go tell John what you've seen and heard, and blessed is he if he won't be offended in me." And then after John's disciples left, Jesus said all of these complimentary things, that John was the greatest man that had ever been born up until that time. And I wondered for years, "God, why did you wait until John's disciples were gone to say these things? Wouldn't that have encouraged him? Wouldn't it have helped him?" And then one day I was reading in Isaiah chapter 35, and over there it prophesied that when the Messiah comes, he'll open the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, the lame man will leap as a hart, the tongue of the dumb will sing. And Jesus did all of those things in 1 hour's time. Plus, he raised somebody from the dead. And then he says, "Go back and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised up." You know what Jesus did? Instead of meeting John on just an emotional level where he would have said some complimentary things that would have made him feel better, what he did was refer him back to the Word, the prophecy of Isaiah 35 that John knew. And he fulfilled the Word, and he spoke to John through the Word, not because he didn't respect John. He said John was the greatest prophet that had ever been born among women. He loved him so much that instead of just meeting him on a carnal level, he brought him up to the Word of God. And I believe that the Holy Spirit quickened those words to him. John recognized the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 35, and he went out with a shout, with the Word of God burning in his heart, because God had spoken to him through the Word. I was sharing out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I spent a lot of time talking in verse 14 where it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And I was talking about how that we have to take God's Word, but not just read it with our head. You have to read it with your heart. It has to be quickened to you by the Spirit. John 6:63 says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." That was Jesus speaking. And the Word of God is actually a spiritual thing. It's written down and it's in physical form, but the true Word of God is spirit. You know, there are some people that just get so offended if somebody drops their Bible on the ground, they think that's disrespectful. But this is just a book. I could tear these pages out of here and it doesn't affect the Word of God. The Word of God is represented correctly by these pages, but the true Word of God is spirit and life, and it's got to be spiritually revealed to you. And that's what 1 Corinthians 2 14 is talking about, that if you just read the Bible with your brain and try and figure it out intellectually, you're going to miss the Word of God. You've got to let the Holy Spirit quicken it to you. And I've given many, many examples of this. So it goes on down here in the 16th verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." This is something that some people may not relate to immediately, but I've got this teaching entitled Spirit, Soul, and Body. That's really the key that the Lord used to unlock the Word to me. That's what made it come alive. And I've got this teaching, and I won't go through the whole thing, but it's in our spirit that we have the mind of Christ. With your brain, you do not know all things. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. And see, most people read the Bible and they think, well, the Bible says I know all things. Man, it's obvious I don't know all things. Somebody can't even find your glasses and they're on top of your head. And you don't remember where you put your keys. And, you know, we have people come to our school and they take these tests and, man, they realize they don't know all things. But a test, that's just checking your brain up here. But in your spirit, you have the mind of Christ. It's in your spirit that you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This term new man is a term consistently used, like 2 Corinthians 5:17 and other places. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. The term new man is talking about your spirit. Put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You've got your physical mind, and we have to use it to function. But you also have a mind of Christ that is in your spirit. If you're born again, you literally have the mind of Christ. Everything that Jesus knows, you know. Your spirit knows all of these things. And this is what it's referring to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the whole chapter has been about Paul didn't just come and try and reach your brain. He didn't come using enticing words of man's wisdom, is what it says. But he was speaking the hidden wisdom of God, spiritual wisdom, wisdom that was spoken to a person's heart that you can only understand by your heart, not by your head. That's amazing to me. You know, we have fallen so far from where God intended us to be that today we look around and we see these people that we consider to be the smart, intellectual people, and they're people that have a Harvard education or some of these, you know, Ivy League schools, and we think those people are brilliant. And yet the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 1, and Psalms chapter 53, verse 1, that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Some of these people who are considered to be the great intellectuals of our day are so stupid. Forgive me for being blunt. I'm not malicious with it. I'm just telling you the truth. They are so stupid that they can't even perceive God when the Bible says in Psalms chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, that the heavens are declaring the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no tongue. There is no language where their voice isn't heard. It's gone forth into all of the earth. I tell you, creation is just shouting out that there has to be a God, and yet the people that we consider to be intellectuals today are so dumb they can't hear it. Again, there's no maliciousness said with that, but that's what the Bible says. And Paul is saying, I didn't use man's wisdom. I didn't come just logically trying to figure everything out. I'm speaking by the Spirit of the Lord, and those whose hearts are open to it will perceive this. And that's the reason he went on down and said that the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. You could, in the context of what we're teaching, you could say that the natural man, a man just operating under his own intellect, can't hear the voice of God. You got to hear the voice of God in your heart. And then he says, we have the mind of Christ, not up here in your brain, but in your heart. If you're born again, you know things that you can't know by just natural reasoning. And one of the reasons people miss the voice of God is because they are trying to figure it out. They are using their brain, trying to, in some physical, natural way, figure all of these things out. You just need to follow the leadership of the Lord. You need to follow your heart. I can tell you there are so many, many, many times that God has just shown me things. I felt it in my heart. I obeyed it, and it didn't make sense. You know, this very building that I'm sitting in, I bought this building with a $3.2 million loan to buy this building, 110,000 square feet. But I needed $3.2 million of construction to make it so that we could use it. So I bought it with a loan, but then as I was waiting on the construction loan, they just kept telling me, next week, next week. And they assured me, they said, we wouldn't have given you a loan to buy this if we weren't also going to give you a construction loan. It's no good. You can't move your ministry in there until you get it refurbished. And so they kept telling me, next week, next week. Well, that went on for 9 months. And finally, after 9 months, I just got tired of it and I said, God, you've got to speak to me. You've got to show me. And anyway, I did something that went against all wisdom. I said, I'm not going to take out a loan. I'm just going to wait on God to supply the money. I'm going to do it debt free. And in the natural, I sat down and figured out that at the rate we had been saving money, for me to come up with $3.2 million, I would have been over 100 years old when we got that money in. And our ministry was growing. It would have killed our ministry. In the natural, it was the wrong thing to do. But I didn't follow my head. I followed my heart. It's in your heart that you have the mind of Christ. And God speaks to you through your heart. And praise God, thanks to God, because of the way that I've grown over the years, I was able to reject the natural thinking and just the physical, natural things. And I was able to walk by the Spirit and not by my brain. And because of it, in 14 months, we got all of the money that we needed to finish this building, and we did it debt-free. But I'm saying that one of the reasons we don't hear the voice of God is because we're trying to figure it out in our brain instead of listening to our heart. Here is a great piece of truth. And I just pray that you can understand what I'm saying, because this is, it's hard to explain to people who are, like it says right here, the natural man. The natural man can't understand this. You're going to have to receive this by the Spirit and let God reveal it to you. But you, if you've been born again, you have a new spirit on the inside of you. And that spirit knows all things. I quoted that verse out of 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. And in verse 27, it says you have an anointing. And you don't need people to teach you, but as that same anointing teacheth you all truth, and is truth and is no lie. And even as He has taught you, ye shall abide in Him. In your spirit, you've got the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16, Colossians 3:10. You've been renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created it. In your spirit, you know everything. And here is a great piece of information. I just pray that you'll let the Holy Spirit reveal this to you. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak to you from the outside in. Now, He can, but that's not His preference. He doesn't want to just have somebody come and camp in front of you and rebuke you and tell you exactly everything and trust them, because you could be led astray from another source. You could be influenced by a wrong mentor. The way that God speaks to you, your born-again spirit knows all things, and your spirit is in communion with the Holy Spirit. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. The Holy Spirit and your born-again spirit are merged. They're one. And the Greek word for one there is hes, H-E-I-S. And it means a singular one to the exclusion of another. It's not like you got the Holy Spirit and then you got your spirit. No, your spirit and the Holy Spirit are one. They are merged. They are ounce for ounce, molecule for molecule, if there are those kind of things in the spirit realm. They're identical. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit have become one. And so the way that the Holy Spirit speaks to you, He's a part of your born-again spirit. And instead of saying from the outside, like, Andrew, you need to go do this, the Holy Spirit is inside of me. He's one with me, or I'm one with Him, whichever way you want to say that. And the way He speaks to me, it's just that the knowledge, the direction, the wisdom that the Holy Spirit has is just part of me. It's imparted unto me. That knowledge is in me. Again, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Not your brain, but your born-again spirit. The Holy Spirit has imparted this. You know all things in your spirit. And so here's a piece of information that just really has transformed my life. Is that instead of the Lord saying to me, Andrew, I want you to go to Woodland Park and to build a Bible college campus that can accommodate people from all over the world and just is going to make a huge impact on the body of Christ. That's not the way that the Lord spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me by just imparting this knowledge to me, and it came to me that I want to go to Woodland Park. I want to build a Bible college. But you know what? That wasn't originating from my mind or from my soul. It was coming from my spirit. But the Lord speaks to us in first person. He doesn't speak to us in third person. It's not like God is telling me. No, I just know these things. It's revealed unto me. Now, this is a little bit dangerous because it's hard to understand the difference between your born-again spirit's voice and the voice of your flesh. And a carnal Christian can't really accurately decide that. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "The Word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." The very terminology there shows you that it's hard to separate between those two. But the Word of God is so sharp, it can even separate between soul and spirit. Soul is your mental, emotional part of you, your personality part. And even though it can be influenced by God, it can also be influenced by the devil. It can be corrupted. And your mistakes that you make come out of your soul. But your spirit is sanctified and perfected forever. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 and 14. Your spirit is perfect, and it has the mind of Christ, and it has His unction from the Holy One, and it just knows things. So how do you tell whether the feelings, the impressions you've got are coming out of your soul or out of your spirit? The Word of God will separate between them. The Spirit will never impress on you, lead you to do anything contrary to God's Word. The Spirit wrote the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word agree perfectly. So if you all of a sudden feel a desire, an impression, an urgency to do something, you have to match it with the Word of God. Does it line up with the Word of God? Let's say that you're just coveting something. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not covet." And if you are driven by covetousness, selfishness, then I can guarantee you it's not God. That's not the way that God would lead you to do something. And so you have to take the Word of God and divide asunder between soul and spirit. But this really helped me to recognize that God doesn't speak to me just from the outside in. He speaks to me from the inside. My born-again spirit is now united with Him, and He will speak to me, and I just know things. He just reveals things to me. And to my brain, it sounds like it's me, but it's my born-again me. It's my me that is united with the Holy Spirit. You know, I had an instance one time in Omaha, Nebraska, where I had been ministering the Word of God. And I remember sitting in meetings in the very beginning of my walk with the Lord where I was so overwhelmed with the Lord that I just sat there for an hour after the service was over and I was like on holy ground and I couldn't move. I was just so in the presence of God. And I remember that. And I ministered in Omaha, Nebraska, and I saw people sitting there, the exact same thing. You could tell they were just basking in the presence of the Lord. We'd seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open, miracles. People had heard the Word of God. And they were just sitting there, and I recognized what was happening. And so, as I was driving back to my hotel, I was just praising God and thanking Him and saying, "Father, what an honor to see You flow through me and touch people's lives to such a degree that they were just overwhelmed with the presence of God." And I was thanking God and saying, "Thank You, Father." And you know, out of my heart came, "Thank You, Andrew." And when I first thought that, I thought, man, this couldn't be God. God would never thank me. I, at my very best, am unworthy. See, that's religious traditions and doctrines. Mark chapter 7, verse 13 says, "Traditions and doctrines of men make the Word of God of none effect." And many of us won't let God speak complimentary things to us and tell us how much He loves us and stuff like this because we've been taught that we're just a worm and that God, at our very best, God still is half ticked off and just ready to burn us at any moment. But see, that's the traditions and doctrines of man, and that's not true. But that will keep you from experiencing it. And that came up out of me. I didn't hear an audible voice, But I just all of a sudden knew that God was pleased with me and God was thanking me for letting Him flow through me. You know what? That was God speaking to me. I know that there's people who think, well, boy, you're way off base. God would never thank you. That's because you don't know God. Man, if the Lord died for me, and if He gave His life for me, I guarantee you He loves me enough to tell me that He just appreciates me agreeing with Him. It's not meaning that I did everything perfectly. He didn't say that. He just appreciated to the degree that I did submit to Him. God appreciated it. And God speaks to me like this. It's just certain things. I just know things. You know, when we went up and looked at this property in Woodland Park and first considered it, I just prayed over it. I had a group of people with me and we stood there and joined hands and we prayed and I just knew that I knew. It's not like God said, thus saith the Lord, buy this property. But I just knew. How did I know? I don't know. I just knew. I knew in my knower. You know, that's not a very good way of describing stuff, and I know that there's people that will sit here and ridicule that, but there's others that you know exactly what I'm talking about. You just know things by the Spirit of God. This is how God speaks to you. It doesn't have to be an external voice. You don't have to hear an audible voice. You just know things. Your spirit, your born-again spirit, has the mind of Christ. You know all things. You have a special anointing. You've been renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created you. And in your spirit, you know things. But you have to quiet yourself and decrease the confusion and the noise and the clamor that's coming at you from the world. You have to get quiet before God, be still and know that I am God. You've got to go to the Word of God and let God quicken Scripture to you. But then even beyond just specific Scripture, you can just know things. There is no Scripture that says you should buy this property in Woodland Park, Colorado. But there are Scriptures that tell me about let the peace of God rule in my heart, that He'll give me the desires of my heart. And as I prayed and did a number of different things that the Lord showed me, I just knew that God had given us this property. And I tell you what, it is a God thing. God is already, in the last 4.5 years, we've seen over $63 million, I believe it is, come in, and we've paid for those things debt-free. And we're still in the process, and we got hundreds of millions to go. And how do I know that God is telling me to do this? Well, for other people that don't hear the voice of God, I think you can look at it and see that it has to be God. Because when we started this process, I didn't have 2 nickels to rub together. I had nothing. And yet over the last 5 years, we've had over $63 million coming in addition to all of the millions of dollars I have to run this ministry and to pay my television bills and do things like this. So I believe for those of you that aren't used to hearing the voice of God and may doubt it, you can't look at what's happened and sit there and think that I'm smart enough to do this. It certainly wasn't my ability. It's God that's making all of this work. But I know because my spirit is in union with the Lord and I have tuned my hearing. The Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 4, attend to my words. And that means to prick up the ears, tune, focus your hearing. I have learned how to listen to the voice of the Lord and I just know because my spirit is in union with the Lord. My spirit is one with the Lord. And when I feel things in my heart, and again, I always qualify this and check it with the Word of God. But when it checks with the Word of God, if what I'm feeling and desiring lines up with the Word of God, that's God. The devil, your flesh, is never going to give you the desire to do what God's Word says. The flesh, it says, is enmity against God. Romans chapter 8. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Your flesh is never going to desire godly things. When you desire godly things, it's because it's coming out of your spirit. I tell people all the time who say, I want to go to Bible school, but I just don't know if it's God. And I tell them, I said, do you think that your flesh or the devil wants you to go sit under the Word 4 hours a day for 2 or 3 years? Man, that's a no-brainer. If you've got a desire to go to Bible college, I can guarantee you it's not the flesh and it's not the devil that put that desire there. That desire is coming out of your heart. Your flesh is enmity. It's the enemy. It's against God. When you are desiring godly things, it's because this is God's Spirit on the inside quickening your spirit, and those desires are coming from God. You have to judge these desires, these impressions that you have. And if they line up with the Word, then it's the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit inspired this Bible. The Spirit and the Word agree. They are one. And any time your desires, your impressions, your leadings, your thoughts, your intuitions line up with the Word of God, then it's God. And that's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder between soul and spirit. It will help you to distinguish, is this my soul or is it my spirit? If it's your spirit, it will always conform to the Word of God. If it's your soul, it will violate the Word of God in some way. Man, that's powerful. So, it's in your spirit that you have all of this wisdom and knowledge of God. And again, this is something that I minister on all of the time. I just put different titles on it and apply it to like how to follow God's will, how to prosper in finances, how to be healed, and I teach on different aspects. But it's the same principle all of the time about in your spirit is perfect, it's complete, it's not baby, it's not growing up, you've already got everything. And concerning what I'm talking about right here, you already hear the voice of God in your spirit, you already have leading and guidance in your spirit. But how do you get it from your spirit out into your brain to where you can understand it and then act on it? There's multiple things, but here's one of the things that I want to point out today, that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul said, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Now remember that. There in verse 7, he says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is the same person writing. You got to remember that the chapter and verses were put in there by people to help us reference it. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's not a separate thought. This is still the same person teaching. And look at what he said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." When you speak in tongues, you are speaking mysteries in the Spirit. Put that back with 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." When you speak in tongues, your spirit is praying. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays." The part of you that has the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2, 16, the part of you that has an unction from the Holy One and you know all things, 1 John 2, 20, the part of you that Colossians 3:10 says is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created Him, the part of you that knows everything, has the mind of Christ, is praying when you're speaking in tongues. When you speak normally, you're praying from your brain. Now, if it's Spirit-inspired and really led by the Lord, it's your spirit praying through your brain, and that's okay. But a tremendous amount of what's called prayer is just people praying from their intellect. They're praying their hurts, their feelings, they're putting forth all of these things. And in your intellect, in your mind, is where all of your doubt, your fears, all of your hang-ups are. In your personality, in your soulish part. But when you pray in tongues, you aren't praying from your brain. You're praying from your spirit. Did you know that one of the things that helped me to really understand that this gift of tongues that I speak in is really God is because I can pray in tongues and read the Bible and have perfect comprehension and have God speak to me and receive things Because my brain isn't involved when I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying out of my spirit. That's what it says here, 1 Corinthians 14:14. When I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. The part of me that has the mind of Christ is praying, and it's bypassing my brain. And so that is really important. You're praying without the reservations, without the confusion, without all of the problems that you have when you're just praying from your intellect. And remember that this spirit is the part of you that has all of this knowledge in it. Your spirit is like a well that has all of this life-giving water in it. But you know, a person could be standing at the top of a well, leaning up against the well, and they could die of thirst if they don't have a way to draw that water out. You could be just feet away from life-giving water and die of thirst if you can't draw that water out. It's the same thing that's happening with Christians. Christians have the Spirit of God living on the inside of them. They have already been healed by His stripes, and that healing power is in their spirit. They already have faith. They have love and joy and peace, and they got everything that they will ever need in their born-again spirit. But how do you draw it out? And there are millions of Christians that have this life in them, and they don't know what they've got, and they don't know how to use it. You know, right before this program, I had somebody text me with something, and I wanted to send it to another person, and I knew it could be done, but I didn't know how to do it. So I asked the lady that's on our set, and she came and used my phone to take a picture of that text. I still don't understand. I mean, to me, I can take a picture with my phone, but I can't take a picture of a text. But she just pushed some buttons and then told me how to do it. And anyway, I said, that's a great illustration of what you... I had all of these things in my phone, but I don't know what I have. I don't know how to use it, and I have to have somebody tell me how to do it. Well, I'm telling you that in your spirit, you've got everything that you need. You don't need more faith. You don't need more wisdom. You don't need more anointing. You don't need more healing. You don't need something. You got it all in your spirit, but you don't know what you have, and you don't know how to get it out. I'm telling you, one of the ways that you draw out, one of the ways you stick a bucket down in there and draw out this wisdom and this voice of God that's in your spirit is by praying in tongues. When you pray in tongues, your spirit is praying. It's just like you flip a switch and turn on a dynamo and start generating this power. When you pray in tongues, you are releasing the spirit that's on the inside of you. Man, that's awesome. And what's happening when you're praying in tongues? Again, 1 Corinthians 14:2, when you pray in tongues, you are praying the hidden wisdom of God in a mystery. And that's what Paul said that he was preaching from. You know, Paul was educated by Gamaliel at the leading rabbi in Jerusalem. He was one of the most educated Jews of his day. He had all of this knowledge, but he didn't have the spiritual understanding of it. As I've taught this week, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Paul didn't spiritually discern all of the Word of God that he had memorized and been taught. But when he had this encounter with the Lord, when he got born again, all of a sudden he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he started receiving revelation, and Paul wrote half of the books in the New Testament. He had a revelation that even the Apostle Peter says, man, our beloved brother Paul says some things that are hard to be understood. And where did he get this understanding from? Well, he said he was speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery, and then in this same book he says, when you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery. I believe that Paul prayed in tongues. Now, this is not all that there was to it, but it was a big part of it, that he would pray in tongues over the Scriptures that he already had seen, and he heard about the Messiah and all of the prophecies about what the Messiah would do. He had this information, but he didn't have understanding and wisdom. But when he prayed in tongues, the Holy Spirit was praying through him and releasing this hidden wisdom of God, and he interpreted it. This is one of the ways that God speaks to you. So again, look at this, 1 Corinthians 14:14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. But then in the verse in front of that, it says, "Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret." So we are told that if we pray in an unknown tongue, we are supposed to pray for an interpretation. Now, in a church assembly, when you've got other people present, this is a little different, because if you pray, if you give a message in tongues, you're supposed to stop, and somebody, either you or somebody else, has to give the interpretation in English. Everything in 1 Corinthians 14 says it has to be done for the edification of the other people, not just yourself. And he placed restrictions on it. In a church assembly, there should not be more than two or three maximum people speaking in tongues, and then there has to be an interpretation. But in this same book, the Apostle Paul said that I pray in tongues more than you all. And he was talking about all of the Corinthians. We don't know how many that there were in the church, but there were certainly hundreds. And Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you put together. So Paul, he gave instructions how the gift of speaking in tongues should operate in the church, and there has to be an interpreter so that the people can benefit. But he also showed you that he prayed in tongues a lot in the private, because in the church, he said, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue unless somebody can interpret it. So Paul prayed in tongues privately. And so my point is that not only do you pray for an interpretation if you're in a public assembly so that the others can benefit, but when you're by yourself, you can pray for an interpretation. And I believe that this is what happened with the Apostle Paul. And this is probably not all that there was to it, but a large part of Paul receiving the revelation that he had. He already knew what the Word of God said, the Old Testament prophecies, but he spent time praying in tongues. He said, I pray in tongues more than all of you put together. And through that, God quickened his understanding, and this Spirit that knew all things began to start teaching his mind, and he received benefit. Did you know, to a degree, this is what happened to me. I was raised in the Baptist church. I was taught against the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, told that those things were of the devil, that God doesn't do that nowadays. But when I finally received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, man, I fell in love with Jesus. Anything that makes you love Jesus more, seek Jesus more, and touch people more, and be used of God more, I guarantee you it's not of the devil. And so when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues, man, the Lord just started revealing things to me. But it was so contrary to everything that I had been taught in the Baptist church that in Mark chapter 7, verse 13, it says, traditions and doctrines of man make the word of none effect. And so there was this conflict between what my brain had been taught and what I was thinking and what I was feeling in my heart. And because of it, I had to reconcile these differences. So once I got kicked out of the Baptist church and uninvited to come there, I had just gotten married, and one of the things that I started doing, I had 3 pages of these legal pads, yellow legal pads, and I wrote scripture references, not the whole scripture, but just the reference where it was found, all the way across the page, all the way down, front and back, 3 pages of scriptures that God was speaking to me, and I knew that they had something in it. God was speaking to me through them, but I couldn't understand it. I couldn't reconcile it with what I'd been taught. So what I did for about 6 months, I would get up and I would take all of these scripture references, and then on another piece of paper, this is back before we had computers and stuff, I would write out those scriptures word by word for anywhere from 10 to 12 hours a day. And I would just sit there and write those scriptures out. And as I wrote them out, I would meditate on every single word, thinking about it and praying about it. And God was speaking things to me. But after I'd done that for 10 or 12 hours a day, then I'd literally go get in the closet. Now, you do not have to do this literally, but because we only had a 1-bedroom apartment, and, you know, I didn't want to kick Jamie out and make her leave and go someplace while I was praying. I went into the closet, pushed the shoes out of the way, and then I would spend an hour or two, sometimes 3 hours, just praying in tongues and saying, God, give me wisdom. What are these scriptures saying? What about this grace of God? I've been taught that everything is based on performance, and here I'm seeing your grace and mercy, and I would just pray over these scriptures that I'd been meditating on all day long. And I did that for about 6 months, and then, I don't have the right words for this, but I mean, after 6 months of doing this, studying about 10 to 12 hours a day, praying in tongues 2 to 3 hours a day, asking God for interpretation, I mean, it's like an atomic bomb went off on the inside of me. All of a sudden, I saw it. This is when I understood spirit, soul, and body, which I have a teaching on that. To me, that's like the key that unlocked my brain and helped me to finally understand who I was in Christ. And in 1 week's time, God just flooded me with so much revelation that I think I probably did the wrong thing, but I actually asked the Lord to stop giving me revelation because I felt like I can't retain all of this. This is bigger than what I can contain. And God just, I mean, the revelation just came alive. The Holy Spirit started speaking. And anyway, I say all of that to say that my studying of Scripture and praying in tongues over it, that wasn't disconnected. Those things were vital links to God revealing Himself to me and showing me His Word and teaching me things. And so I'm saying all of this. You want to hear the voice of God? You've got to go to the Word and let the Word of God speak to you. You've got to receive revelation of who you are in Christ. You've got to understand 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, you have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. 1 Corinthians 2, 16, you have the mind of Christ in your spirit. Colossians 3, 10, you are renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created you. All of these things are in your spirit, but how do you get them out? When you pray in tongues, you're praying the hidden wisdom of God. Your spirit is praying, the part of you that has this, and all you've got to do is just pray for an interpretation. And all of a sudden, this knowledge, direction, wisdom, intuition that's in your spirit will begin to start coming out into your mind. You know, I mentioned about getting this building and that I did something completely contrary to logic. I decided to do it debt-free, which at the time that I made that decision, back in 2002, it was impossible. At the rate I'd been saving money, I'd have been well over 100 years old by the time I got enough money to finish this building. But you know how I got that? I prayed and I did exactly what I'm talking about. And I said, Father, I've got these problems. I can't seem to get the loan. What's going on? I asked God for wisdom. I started speaking in tongues and asked God to interpret to me what I needed. And within, I'd say, 2 minutes of me speaking in tongues and asking for an interpretation, I had things come back to my remembrance that had happened over 2 years before that I had totally spaced and forgotten. I had a man prophesy to me that you aren't going to have to take out a loan because you have a bank. And when he said that, I thought, what bank do I have? And he says, your partners are your bank. And he says, if you'll just ask them, they'll help you and you will do this debt free. And all of a sudden, when I said, God, what's the problem? How come I can't get this money? I prayed in tongues, asked for an interpretation, just like that. That prophecy came back and I said, God, is this you that quickened this to me? Is this telling me that I shouldn't even be seeking a construction loan? I ought to do it debt free. And I prayed about it, and the Lord told me yes. And we got this building done in 14 months, $3.2 million renovation, debt-free. I've done $63 million in the last 5 years up in Woodland Park, debt-free. I've got hundreds of millions of dollars to go, but we're going to do it debt-free. And you know how all of that happened? It was through speaking in tongues and asking God for an interpretation. Let me give this little piece of wisdom here that when you're in a church service and you speak in tongues, you got to stop and then interpret it in English or whatever the known language is where you are. But when you are praying by yourself and there's nobody else around, you don't have to stop praying in tongues and then give a word-for-word interpretation in English. All you got to do, it says here in 1 Corinthians 14:14, that when you pray in an unknown tongue, your spirit prays, but your understanding is unfruitful. All you got to do is just get your understanding fruitful to where you understand. So with me personally, When I'm asking God for an interpretation, I don't stop and pray in English and interpret it. I'm just praying in tongues and saying, God, I believe my spirit has the answer. What is the answer? I'm asking you to reveal it to me, and I'll keep praying in tongues, and God will just make me understand. He'll bring things to my remembrance. He'll speak to me. All of a sudden, I see things from a different perspective. You know, I've got a lot more that I'd love to say about this, but let me say that if you don't speak in tongues, you need to, and you can. And we have people on the phones that would love to pray with you, and I promise you they can explain it. They can pray with you. You could speak in tongues today. And I tell you, it is powerful. And for those of you who receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and this gift of speaking in tongues, I've got this book entitled The New You and the Holy Spirit, and I'll give it to you as a free gift because it will explain this in much greater detail. If you're already born again, if you already have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'd ask you to give something for this. But if you are just now responding, we would love to pray with you, and we'll send this to you as our free gift.